This is Eva Longoria from Hungry for History with Eva Longoria and Maite Gomez-Rejon. Like the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and also a wonderfully busy one. All that merriment can weigh down even Santa's sleigh, so keep it wonderful by keeping yourself wonderful with a crisp, cold Coca-Cola. Ah, pause for fizzy joy. Look out for yourself, and then look out for everyone else. And together, we'll make this season as wonderful as it's meant to be. Enjoy a Coca-Cola. Refresh your holidays.
Amazon Five Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
Hey folks, it's Scott. Several years ago, when Miranda Merrick first told us that she didn't want to say the word podcast on her podcast, The Midnight Library, we thought she was crazy. But now, well, we get it. She wanted to create a world you could step into, and that's exactly what she's done. You can leave your troubles far away when you visit the Midnight Library. As long as you follow the rules, anyway. Only a few people have disappeared so far, and there's still some small chance they may turn up. But if you haven't been following the Midnight Library, or maybe thought it wasn't for you, we have to tell you this show is unique in a sea of the mundane shows that are out there. It has well over 6 million downloads now and has blossomed from being a fantastic, haunted lore type show into having its own mysterious and wild cast of characters that exist in magical and peculiar landscapes. In addition to the storytelling of the birth of the little library demon, Irma, even you are written into and featured in several of the library-based stories, and you are always Miranda's first priority as a welcome guest. So you're already part of the library, whether you know it or not. It's our pleasure tonight to present an episode of the Astonishing Legend Network's very first network show, The Midnight Library.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to The Midnight Library.
Madam, does anyone know just how many bodies are buried in our cemetery here on the grounds?
Well, I suppose that depends, darling, on if you count individual bones as one body.
Do you mean to tell me that we actually bury a single bone in one spacious grave plot?
I mean to tell you the most obvious thing. That sometimes, that's all you and your brothers leave behind.
Oh!
Good evening! Greetings! How wonderful to see you. Yes, come right through. My lovelies, if you've just come straight through our graveyard, don't worry too much about wiping your feet too thoroughly. We don't mind a little burial ground dirt in the reading room. We believe it's good luck. Oh, good evening. What's that, Miss Carrie? You lost a shoe in the graveyard. It was stuck into the mud. Oh, no. Oh, my. Mr. Darling, you'll sniff out and retrieve Miss Carrie's dainty shoe, won't you?
My pleasure, madam.
And don't chew it.
I'll try not to, madam.
Thank you, Mr. Darling. Welcome to the Midnight Library, everyone. I am your Memorial Service MC, Miranda Merrick. Thank you so much for being here tonight as we hold another of our Tombstone Tales. If you saw the hospitality tray as you strolled in, well, you've been lucky enough to see that Natasha, with just a little sticky-fingered help from Irma, has laid out tonight's treats in a miniature graveyard. Oh, there's a burial field of brownies, I'm sure, with little mounds here and there, like freshly dug and filled graves, filled with some kinds of dead things. Pretend dead things. Probably. There are tiny tombstones that Irma has been permitted to write the names of the dead, the pretend dead, upon in Linear B for privacy and legal reasons. And in order not to shock anyone, there is so much attention to detail. There are wee tiny coffin rats running about and jutting candy bones. And that pretty brown liquid draining into the delicate mini buckets off to the side is casket goo and rainwater runoff, not tea. Wait, I meant that the other way around, I think. Yes, definitely. First, I should like to say, and many of you grand taphophiles know what I mean, when I say that Highgate Cemetery is a destination cemetery, meaning that people choose to willingly go to it, just as others might go to the seaside or a touristy town center. Even if all of your life you've never looked forward to visiting or had the desire to visit cemeteries, well, the reason may be because you've never had the experience of visiting one like Highgate. These historic burial grounds tend to be much older graveyards than you might typically have where you live, giving them a definite and certain air about them. A place for the dead like Highgate has an exceptional drawing power about it, because it has an atmosphere like no modern graveyard has at all. The massive Gothic gates you pass through to enter announce to you that you are about to enter a city of the dead. There are towering monuments, family burial plots, archaic spires, weeping angels, and leaning crosses lining the stony pathways, all draped in creeping vines and dappled with moist moss. The sights and scents of this city are so richly macabre that you almost forget at times the long dead are lying in repose just beneath your feet. It's a gloom you will forever long for once you feel its loving, decaying embrace. I promise you. Now, let us face the eerie facts about Highgate Cemetery together, shall we, my lovelies? All through the mid to late 1700s in London, the popular city grew exponentially, as did its population, reaching 1 million people faster than the city itself was ready for. Along with the hustle and bustle of the living came unsanitary conditions and the spreading of disease from being in close quarters, which, in turn, brought death. Lots of death. The number of dead increased right alongside the number of living. Soon, even the little garden graveyards beside the surrounding common churches were simply out of room. Families were desperate to find good resting spots for their dead. I've read that non-conventional graves were wedged between public buildings and behind businesses and shops, which everyone was angry about. At times, there were so many dead to be buried at once that grave diggers and the clergy could not keep up. This prompted some very unseemly behavior, like professional undertakers dressing up as and impersonating the clergy in order to illegally host what was perceived to be sanctified burials on found grounds. Many of these dodgy graves were far too shallow, and the dead were covered with lime to encourage their decomposition, which didn't always go right, and only increased the wafting scent of cloying rot drifting everywhere. In the High Court, Parliament passed a directive that would establish not one, not two, but 7 new private cemeteries in the English countryside surrounding London. These much-needed lands for the dead were referred to as the Magnificent Seven. The third new cemetery to open in 1839 was named Highgate Cemetery. Noted architect of the times, Stephen Geary, aimed to make Highgate a garden-like atmosphere, with mature trees, meandering footpaths, and flowering shrubs, to attract clients who were used to such settings on their own pricey properties. He even gave the gravely grounds the unique flair of having an exotic Egyptian avenue, complete with mausoleums built in the Cairo native style. The dead were literally lining up to have the honor of being buried in Highgate. And in the short period of only 15 years, the place was packed, causing the city council to purchase another 20 acres. Today, the magically decrepit deathscape covers 37 acres, 170,000 souls rest where there are 37,000 graves. Now, that's some bad math. How is this possible? Well, many of the dead are housed together in plots and in mausoleums, and many are in the form of incinerated ashes, stashed away in their eternal urns, a true space saver. And many, to be flat honest, many bodies have been moved and the plots reused to accommodate others. And no, the League of Lady Gravediggers didn't have anything to do with it this time. In 1966, architecture critic Ian Narn wrote,
"It is the creepiest place in London. No Dickensian stretch of the river can match this calculated exercise in stucco horror. Now itself decomposing. Nothing seems real but death at its grayest and clammiest."
Now, knowing that your heart is as dark as my own, dear guest, I think we can easily agree that these critical, dismal words only entice us more and make us hungrier for the bleak knowledge of this dreary Victorian promised land. With its time-worn headstones and ramshackle tombs escorting anyone who passes through, Highgate Cemetery offers broken-down beauty and an air of hauntedness at every turn. And for a solemn place of the dead, Highgate certainly remains spirited. The sullen grounds are filled with those mature trees, overgrown shrubs, and random clumps of wildflowers, all growing uncontained without human assistance or interference. There are also numerous varieties of birds and lively rabbits, squirrels, and foxes darting amongst the cold gravestones. There's little wonder that a multitude of ghosts are said to roam here. One striking feature not often found in more modern cemeteries, or even some older ones, is an actual avenue of graves. There's a hidden understructure that was once a massive tunnel, but the visionary designer, Mr. Geary, converted the tunnel into 16 family vaults, each containing several family members who, one by one, were added to their allotted charnel house or vaulted room once they had died, of course. Each of the deceased families are sealed behind great cast iron doors. Each door is adorned with a pair of inverted torches to symbolize the extinguished lives of those resting inside. Beyond the avenue of family vaults, another encompassing feature to be found is the Circle of Lebanon, a ring of housed vaults that are purposefully sunken down into the earth by a few feet. There's a fine reason why this circle of tombs was created in the first place. This courteous design was in honor of a singular living resident of the cemetery that was rightfully there when the land was acquired. The architect, Mr. Geary, had such immediate admiration for this singular live resident that he couldn't bring himself to request their evacuation, and instead created the circle of sunken graves around it to honor it. It was an already well-aged tree, a sprawling cedar of Lebanon, left respectfully in place as a stunning bit of vibrant life encircled by a ring of death. The impressive round mound of dirt with the glorious tree at its center was affectionately referred to as the world's largest potted plant. Sadly, the ancient tree succumbed to a fungus in 2019 and was taken down. The spot was quickly replanted with a robust young cedar of Lebanon, which will take some time to reach the age of its predecessor, because the original spreading evergreen is firmly believed to have been between 250 and 300 years old. Tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by the League of Lady Gravediggers. If you live 50 more years, or maybe only 5, the ladies will help you plan for the time that you're no longer alive. Dare to be different and dare to dream big. Get into Highgate with the ladies who dig. You needn't be famous or an heir to a plot. Those grave-digging dames know all the right spots. Your grave might be odd and a wee bit icky, but you'll still be in Highgate, so don't be so picky. Once you've dropped dead and filled out your will, the ladies will take action if you've paid your bill. Big Lou will bake you and grind you to powder. Then Jenny will spill you as part of some chowder. A cheaper admittance requires only your blood. When Penny plants flowers, it will moisten the mud. You can choose to be chunks in a werewolf's soup, then dropped into Highgate when he does a poop. The ladies will help you take charge of your fate. One way or another, the ladies will get you into Highgate. The League of Lady Gravediggers reminds you that this type of thuggery takes the right paperwork to complete their skullduggery. So, please follow these two basic instructions. 1. Have your remains signed over to the LOLGD in your will. 2. Inform your relatives that the LOLGD will be carting your deceased carcass off immediately. Notice, any interruptions, hindrances, questions, or static from said relatives will result in bruises, cuts, contusions, lacerations, concussions, and general shuffle damage to said relatives. Book your dubious burial today. Call 976-DITCH-WITCHES. All right, enough of these near niceties. We have ghouls, ghosts, and vampires to get to. Which one? First. Let's have some vampish lore first, then a gathering of great ghosts. What I'm going to delight you with here is somewhat of a capsulized version of a much longer tale, my lovelies. For visual purposes, it's important to know that after World War II, not a lot of funds were available for the upkeep of Highgate, and it became quite neglected and overgrown in places. Families moved away, and even the company that owned the cemetery, the London Cemetery Company, went bankrupt. Not many people visited the cemetery properly at this time, but many passed through it on a road that traverses the rambling graveyard, called Swain's Lane. It's also important to note that since Highgate was so old, there had always been rumors about the inhabitants of the decrepit graves throughout the place. Yes, there had always been rumors that there were strange happenings in Highgate Cemetery, and it was just common knowledge that it was haunted by any number of the multitudes of dead kept there. But in the 1960s, there was more talk of ghosts being seen. One was not just any ghost, but the spirit of a long-dead vampire. Some say the drama all began when two young girls walking by the north gate saw a sinister figure rising up from the ground, but they were too frightened to tell anyone. Others who saw this same figure had the overwhelming feeling that this was no ordinary, benign, lost soul. Such dread and fear came over those who witnessed the looming dark specter that people believed that this was a vampire, and talk of it began to spread. Soon, the local newspaper printed a description of a tall, menacing spirit whose gaze fixed his witnesses to their spot, freezing them in terror. After this article, the newspaper was flooded with letters from folks writing in to tell of their own personal experiences in the graveyard. They wrote with stories of seeing several different kinds of apparitions, but one, a long, lanky figure, sometimes described as wearing stylish old clothing and a top hat, was mentioned by many random people. The newspapers at the time also had a curious habit of proposing witchcraft, satanic activities, and ritualistic magic as the cause of any unexplained deaths, which undoubtedly fueled the public's imaginations, making them, whether they realized it or not, to crave more stories with these tantalizing possibilities. Then, a very odd thing happened in the 1970s that started a craze, some say a panic, that ran through the public like lightning. Two men, Sean Manchester and David Ferrant, came to the forefront by declaring that they believed the supernatural figure in the cemetery to be an undead vampire. And Manchester claimed not just any blood-sucking revenant, but a king of vampires, transported from Romania and entombed in England. Now, rising from his tomb to find the sustaining blood that would bring his flesh fully back to life. If that plot sounds familiar to you, my dear guest, well, you must have read the same book they did. Ramping things up, Ferrant, an occult society member, decided to stay the night in the cemetery. He reported that he saw with his own eyes the tall, mysterious figure, with a piercing gaze that chilled him to his core. Sean Manchester, who claimed to be the bishop of an obscure church, also declared that this being was intent on harming the people of London. The two men later became at odds with each other, disagreeing on the aspects of the vampire and how it should be dealt with. Ferrant and Bishop Manchester convinced the public that bloody satanic rituals were being held in Highgate Cemetery, and that the animal blood from these rituals is what drew the king vampire from his grave in the first place. This wild talk whipped the public into an excited state. And when Manchester stated where and when in the cemetery he was going on a hunt for the vampire, which just happened to be on a Friday the 13th, a veritable mob of hundreds of believers and thrill seekers showed up in the night to join him. But alas, their frenzied search was a complete bust. And I could find no reliable source for this. I did read that some went as far as to pry open mausoleums and then, let's say, they harassed the dead. What did happen is that this ghastly event sparked new interest in Highgate Cemetery. But the strangeness continued when later David Ferrant was found after dark trundling through the old cemetery with a large crucifix and a sharpened wooden stake in hand. He was promptly arrested. Ferrant was also jailed for a time later when he was charged with desecrating graves and, interfering with the dead. Rumors swirled that Ferrant privately told others that blood needed to be spilled, namely that of an animal that he claimed would be anesthetized first, in order to rid the graveyard of the vampire. Bishop Manchester then ridiculed this devilish approach, saying that divine intervention was the only real way to tame the savage ghoul. Ferrant's angle became darker still, with tellings that he was actually a Wiccan wizard who made curse puppets or dolls of all of those who opposed him, cursing them with various ailments and hindrances by burning and sticking steel pins into their dolls. Each man published books in the following years, telling their own versions of the Vampire of Highgate and their encounters with him. Articles and interviews with the opposing men continued for decades, until interest in it became little more than a fizzle, barely getting the public's attention any further. Bishop Sean Manchester, now in his 80s, continues living and defending his books and theories, while David Ferrant passed away in 2019 and chose to be cremated, one might imagine to prevent his own corpse from being pursued by others of his same faith, let's say. Vampires are fun. That's it. That's my statement. But now I am delighted to tell you about an entire host of gallant ghosts said to steadily haunt Highgate Cemetery. The Grey Lady, a Victorian ghostly woman seen by countless visitors, is described as gliding weightless amongst the tombstones, bringing with her a bitter chill that is said to pass right through the warm flesh of anyone who sees her, giving the sensation of frost touching their bones. A cemetery groundsman gave an account of making his rounds in 1971. He thought he heard the gentle sounds of someone in distress, crying.
In the dim distance, he discovered a woman kneeling at the entrance of a large family tomb. Her face buried in her hands as she wept with great sorrow. As he called out to her and shined his light in her direction, she slowly turned her head in his direction, displaying a gaunt face with black, hollow eye sockets. When she dissolved in the night mist, he realized the beam of his flashlight had shot clean through her slumping spectral form. The Gray Lady caused the man to be filled with such dread and feelings of despair after seeing her that he quit his job as caretaker and never again set foot on the grounds of Highgate Cemetery. Also witnessed by many guests to Highgate, the apparition of a mad woman, described by those who have seen her as disheveled and crazed, wearing a raggedy gown with her long tangle of hair flowing. The anguished spirit is said to frantically tear through the graveyard, racing hysterically from grave to grave, staring at the stones. This tragic spirit is said to be the tortured spiritual remains of a woman who was known to have done away with her children. Forbidden from rest in the afterlife, she now searches for eternity, for the graves of her slain little ones. In addition to visual ghosts being seen at Highgate, auditory phantoms are known to startle the living as well. Unassuming visitors and passers-by describe hearing mournful piano music drifting on the air of the cemetery at night and in the pre-dawn hours. No source or even a rumor of any pianist buried in the cemetery has ever been found. A solemn, sorrowful bell is also heard, reverberating through the melancholy burial ground. Highgate Cemetery has no bells. Visitors to the Memorial Park swear they hear names being whispered, disembodied voices and footsteps, weeping, even soft voices that seem to be traveling on the wind, back and forth between graves, as if the haunted dead were trying to communicate with each other in repeating bizarre or pleading messages. Some have seen entire groups of woeful mourners, all in black, paying their last respects, that vanish away as the living's eyes behold them. A runner reported seeing the same ghostly nun in the same spot, with her hands clasped in prayer for months, believing her to be real, until stopping to study her and watching her fade away completely. Another striking specter seen innumerable times in the past decades is that of a towering man wearing a top hat and always materializing in the west quadrant of the cemetery. Those who have seen him admit that they were entering the cemetery after hours when they shouldn't have been there. This foreboding figure appearing just then, giving the impression that he is some type of gatekeeper, custodian, or guard. His ominous presence serving as a warning to those he knows are trespassing
or being disrespectful to this place. Standing motionless and menacing, some admit that the mere sight of him caused them to abandon their plans to enter the grounds at all. Highgate is home to some other kinds of ghosts in addition to the human variety. Visitors and passers-by alike have reported seeing an enormous, sinister black dog, silently trotting amongst the graves, his shiny coat and illuminated eyes gleaming in the night. It's been stated that the black dog is never heard growling or behaving in a threatening manner to those who see him. But then again, no one has ever taken the chance of meeting him face to face. Now, I feel it is my duty to you, my lovely guest, to address the proposed idea of witches, devilment, and ritualistic happenings in Highgate Cemetery. First, there are precisely 0 known witches buried in Highgate. Contrary to popular belief, the poor witches that had their existence ended all happened much earlier, before Highgate existed. But I do suppose there could be several unknown witches buried there. That's generally how it goes, isn't it? As for devilry and sanguine-soaked activities, I confess, not like that, I confess there were mysteriously deceased animals discovered in Highgate. But perhaps the most disturbing of all happened just about the time when all of the hauntings and the vampire lore rose up. Because in 1970, there was a disturbing find, let's say in the bowels of Highgate Cemetery. A body was found. A female body, burnt black and headless. And with no explanation, the earlier rumors seemed more like the truth, that the occult was alive and well in Highgate Cemetery. The prepared body was investigated, but the true identity of the woman and the details surrounding her unusual death were never confirmed. Famous remains in Highgate Cemetery range from Karl Marx to George Michael.
Mama.
Irma! Hi, baby. Yes. Yes, I'm about to ask them. I am so sorry, my dear guests. And I do apologize for Irma's giddiness. As you may have noticed, she's a little excited about her new kitten. Hold up your new kitty, Irma. The feral kitty cats have had a litter, a rather large litter, and I promised Irma that she could keep the 13th kitten born. It was just given to her this evening. Anyway, she has 2 names picked out and she cannot decide between them. And she would like you to please vote on which name you like best. There's a little dish of paper and pens now placed by Mr. Darling by the door that you can write which name you're voting for. She is torn, and I like both of these, she is torn between either Meowzabub or Pussifer. So, Please choose which one you like, Meowzebub or Pussifer. And after you've voted, you're free to go. Good night.
Madam, how does this spell work again? I'm confused.
Once enough common people write a name for the new demon kitty on paper, and I cast their votes into the flames, the kitty gets its powers.
If you burn all the votes, how will we know the new kitten's name?
You know, darling, for a throat-ripping monster, you sure do have an innocence about you.
But the name?
It's Pussifer. I just decided.
Oh, good. That's the one I voted for.
This message is for you, my dear guest. It's important to me that you know that you are welcome and valued here. Why? Because I know that you are a real person. And I'd like you to know that in spite of what you may hear in the village, that I am a real person too. I am not an AI-generated thing, pieced together by robbing the work of others and presented by a soulless algorithm, meant to spew a random flood of content at you that only masquerades as quality entertainment. I choose the subjects I think you'll like. I diligently research the topics using only reputable books and sites. I alone write every single word you hear. I choose each piece of music and every eerie fun sound. I am the Midnight Library. I am the Reading Room. I am every character. I am the Broom and Fang Pub, the fog that floats in the graveyard, and every Lady Gravedigger. And I am honored that you enjoy what I create. So I will ask you to support the Midnight Library, as many of my beloved friends do. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary, and I'll meet you there. Thank you.
This is Eva Longoria from Hungry for History with Eva Longoria and Maite Gomez-Rejon. Hi, everyone. Happy holidays. Let's talk about those two words, about keeping the holidays happy. Because let's be honest, even the happiest season could use a boost. You've got to take a minute for yourself, a little me time, and refill those joy reserves so there's still plenty left to share. Maybe that means taking a break from wrapping, planning, cooking, hosting, to recharge with a refreshing Coca-Cola. Ah, one sip and you're ready to hang more lights. Sip and recharge your jolly now. Because self-care isn't selfish. It's necessary. Whether you're a holiday multitasker extraordinaire, or the host with the most, or I don't know, the actual Santa Claus, you deserve a moment to reset. So if things are getting a little too jingly-jangly, take a breath. Center yourself. Have a Coke. And get back out there, refreshed, radiant, and ready to slay. Yes, I did. See how I did Santa's sleigh? You're welcome. Enjoy a Coca-Cola. Refresh your holidays.
The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.